Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Boy, do we ever. You know what else we do? We invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
That's right, lover.
Yes.
You know what I realized today?
What's that?
We have yet to try the grapefruit.
Oh.
Sex sneak.
Yes, we have. Sex sneak. Yeah, we haven't tried the grapefruit thing yet, but stay tuned. We will give it a go, and if anyone out there does it, tries it, if it's good, let us know.
Email us and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, email us audio of you doing it.
We'll report back. Yeah.
The grapefruit.
You know, I don't know if this nice lady has done the grapefruit technique, but you know this sex-positive provocateur.
She's a New York City-based stand-up and a Maxim.com sex expert.
She's the creator, producer, and host of the blog Come Beloved live show, Awkward Sex in the City. Welcome, Miss Natalie Wall.
Thank you for having me.
So that's the sound. Have you, are you aware of the grapefruit?
No, I wanted to ask about that. The grapefruit sex sneak.
Yeah. Okay. It's you kind of hole out a grapefruit. You halve it, and then you cut a hole in it, and you blindfold your partner, and you put it over their penis. The only instructional video we saw involved over a penis. So you put it over the penis, and you use it as kind of like an extension of your hand to...
In your mouth,
and they're blindfolded, so they're not aware that there's a grapefruit. I guess until they start.
And that sound is from the actual.
Yeah, this woman demonstrates it on a dildo on YouTube.
Oh, I was gonna ask if it was an actual dick or not.
No.
It was a dildo. It was a big, big dildo.
Lost opportunity.
I know.
But when we've been you be able to try. Tell that it was a grapefruit? Because wouldn't it? I'm thinking of putting the grapefruit in the fridge. Like, that's where I put my orange.
Yes.
Oh, it'd be cold.
It'd be cold.
Yeah.
And immediately, I don't know.
I think you would know. That was the part of it that I didn't totally buy. She's given this, you know, you blindfold, you don't tell your partner. I feel like the sneakiness of that you would know. I think even if you put a blindfold on, you would know. Her point is if you're just getting a great blowjob, you just wouldn't even ask any
that's
questions,
what,
I guess,
it is.
Until
if
the
something
end.
Feels good, I don't think you're going to worry too much about it.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll give it a try.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll email in. I want to know now.
Please.
We're all
know.
On the case.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to give this a go and see if it's worth a damn.
Well, we like to wine and dine our guests, don't we?
Sure. We try to be a real fancy, classy podcast. And we asked Natalie what her favorite Bev was, and we got the Mick Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
The Michelob Ultra.
I like how you have no shame about asking for this.
No. And I get so much shame. If I ask at a bar, especially when I'm in Brooklyn, they always want me to leave.
Yeah,
and I understand.
Like, what? You're not buying a beer that I made in my basement today? Get out of here.
I actually love shitty beer. I'm just teasing you. I like it goes down easy. You can drink it all night. I'm down with Michelob Ultra.
Diana's a big Bud Light fan.
I do. I like Bud Light.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had the Michelob Ultra before today, but I'm actually enjoying it.
It's a very drinkable, smooth, easy beverage that goes down. I feel like maybe I've become too much of an alcoholic that if I piss it out quicker, then I can like kind of get drunk off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like Keystone Light, Bud Light, Miller Light, Mick Ultra?
Natty Light. Yeah.
I think, yeah. Because then by the end of the night, that's sweet, sweet Natty Light. it just feels like sometimes by the end of the night, I'm like, have I had... 16 beers? Like, why am I just like mildly buzzed?
Oh, yeah. This is the kind of beer where you could look down and be like, oh, shit, I drank 12.
Yeah. Well, we have 12 in front of us, so.
Yes, we do.
Challenge accepted.
Yes.
Ms. Wall, are you single?
Mm-mm-mm.
I
am with a boy.
In a relish.
In a relish.
All right.
So the grapefruit.
Hear that, listeners.
Yeah.
Not so looking to mingle.
No mingling. is it... Do you two enjoy the Mick Ultras together? Is he a drinker?
He is a drinker. He's a vodka soda drinker.
Mm. Oh.
He's a little older, a little more mature.
Sure, sure.
He hates Michelob Ultra with a fiery passion, like real Park Slope, Brooklyn fiery passion.
Ah, yes.
So we disagree on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to agree on the beverages. As long as you're both drinking, I think it's... If you're not drinking, sober people and drunk people, no. Stay away from each other.
That's
not true at all, but...
It could be a good thing if you don't drink the same thing. Because then you don't come home and you're like,
Who drank my Mick Ultra?
Yeah, and he's like...
Literally no one drank your Mick Ultra.
He's like, we threw them in the trash and burned them. But I actually really like it.
It's smooth as Bev.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say we slide on over to Sexy Science? What do we do here?
We rip articles from the headlines.
Yes, we combine all of the things sexual and scientific in the world, and we talk about some hearts and some parts. So where'd this one come from?
This article we'll be discussing today comes from Jezebel. Title is Disneyland Employee Sentenced to Jail for Trying to Have Sex with Kids in Exchange for Park Tickets.
Whoa. Mm.
Hello, sweetheart. Hello, get your son. Come on in.
Nikki's at it again.
Brought your son.
Also, I would love to preface.
Oh, it's real. Yeah, cost a dollar.
I was just going to see how long Mickey was gone. I would like to also preface this with saying that I would not be shocked if we got a cease and desist after airing this episode, because Disney is
really
fucking serious about saying anything about them. But this is a fact. This guy got arrested, worked there, tried to lure kids in.
It's just a news story.
Yeah. I'm just prepared for the things I'm going to say about this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Get ready. If you guys are listening and you're streaming, download the episode right now. It could be ripped off the internet at any moment. Basically, at the happiest place on earth, Disney employee Derek Enciso posted ads on Craigslist asking for sexual favors in exchange for Disney park tickets.
Hmm. Craigslist. Well, so the cops caught him in a sting, like in some sort of to catch a predator situation where they used a decoy. And so the condoms were when he went to meet the 14-year-old kid with a bunch of condoms, he was arrested. So then they knew he was attempting to have safe sex at Disneyland.
Is it ever safe sex with a 14-year-old at Disneyland?
No, it's,
I don't know.
That's dangerous, bad sex.
And wait, so it happened on Craigslist? He would put something out on Craigslist?
Yeah, he worked at Disney, and he was like, I can get you into Disney Park for free if you do sex to me.
I wonder what capacity he worked at Disney.
I wonder as well.
Because if he's in the Goofy costume,
I think they would have said that.
They would have. Because
that's a killer point that any, like, New York Post would have jumped on that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Goofy. Fucking kids. I don't know. Like, something better than that.
Yeah.
I like
Post
that.
Goofy
fucking kids.
The Post
kids
would not be far off from that. They're sensational headlines. Yeah. So, I guess, if you just worked in the offices or something. Dangling those tickets as a, that just seems like an immediate, it's going to come back to you so quickly, I would think.
If it's the fact that he put on Craigslist, it was like he was asking to get caught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Has he ever heard of the dark net?
Yeah.
I mean, Craigslist is just
deep
the light
net
that everyone knows about.
What about some old-fashioned flyering, even?
Yes.
You know? With the little,
no way to trace.
You can rip it off the phone number. The
yeah, exactly. Leave it at a local grocery store.
Yep. Redeem. This is good for one trip to Disneyland.
Seeking young teen for sex.
I want to know what type of condoms they were. I really want it to be like Mickey Mouse was on the face.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Yes.
Your face was said yeah. You said yes, but your face was like, dear God.
You thought of those years.
I was horrified. Well, Murph and I have long taken issue with adults that are obsessed with Disney.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel it's a weird...
But it's not because I think they're perverts.
No,
it's like a weird thing for an adult to want to do all the time.
To be thrilled about it. To take a trip there like twice a year or to just be... To be that enthusiastic about Disney World when you're a grown person. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm feel free to judge me for all of my insanity as well, but I feel like that's something I always, when people say, are very excited about that, I'm like, I guess the nostalgia factor.
I think that's gotta be it. But people, they'll take one vacation a year, like a couple who's adults and do not have children, and they'll go to Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah, my boyfriend really likes Disney World. He really does. I've never been as a child or as an adult, and I have
no, me neither.
No, like, want to go.
No.
Well, does this story make you want to go?
Oh, well, now it's different.
Yeah, if you weren't sold on it before. I think, there's the Tomorrowland, Escape from Tomorrowland or whatever that was, a bit where people had the hidden cameras inside of Disney World and how, because they don't let you film anything in there.
No.
You can take like photos of stuff, but they don't want anyone seeing the kind of, you know, how the sausage is made at Disney World. So these people like snuck cameras.
That was perfect for this headline.
Yeah. That was just, yep. It's made on Craigslist. So I think they're very secretive about having cameras in there. So these people snuck cameras in and kind of made like a, I guess it was like a semi, yeah. And yeah, Disney was not pleased when it came out. I think they tried to sue them and all that.
Were they able to get it taken down?
I think so. I don't know if it did, just didn't get a wide release. I never followed up on it. I remember when it was coming out, hearing about it, but I didn't see it, and I don't know what happened to it. So if it's nowhere on the internet, we know that Disney has far-reaching tentacles.
Well, I do a lot of like graphic design stuff, and I remember trying to rip a Disney image once to like change or put type over or create mm-hmm. some funny, weird thing for the World Wide Web. And I pulled the image into Photoshop, and it just fucked up my Photoshop.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, so I couldn't save it. I couldn't alter it.
So they embedded something within the image?
And I had to quit the program. Yeah, exactly. I think that they're very...
They're tight.
Intense.
I think Disney has, like, a CIA. Like, they have a secret service.
They do, yeah.
They're definitely on you.
I actually think they have this... I think that was part of this movie, now that you just mentioned. I think they had some sort of secret police...
Oh, shit.
...within Disney World that, yeah, that really, like, if you... fuck around, you get pulled into a room and you get, yeah, the Disney cops on you.
What was the Simpson equivalent of that? It was like Krusty Land, and Homer got sent to Krusty,
Krusty Jail.
Jail,
yeah.
Like
yep.
Krusty Jail.
Yes.
And that's probably wrong, but.
Aren't all jails a little bit crusty?
It's a little.
Yeah, a little crustier on the edges. Well, I mean, you know, what else is there to say about this man? He's going to do his time in a crusty jail, I guess.
Yeah, he's only in jail for a year, and he has 5 years probation.
That's it.
Well, because when you use a decoy, it's like that preemptive.
So he didn't actually do it.
Assumption of crime, you know. So it's it's not like they walked in on him.
Damn.
Yeah, because that is to catch a predator. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of it, but I've seen just a handful of them here and there, and it's usually the scramble when they come out for them to immediately backpedal and be like, No. These beers were for me, and I was just here to read a book. Like, there's always that immediate thing. So I guess if you don't catch them in the act.
Yeah.
It's coming back, too, right? Aren't they doing more episodes of How to Catch a Predator?
I have no idea.
Because obviously the problem's not solved. Thank you, Jared.
But, Subway. Yes, Jared sparked a whole new season of To Catch a Predator.
Geez. Jared, don't get me started. It's like all of our dreams are just crashing down.
Yes.
Cosby,
Disney.
Jared.
Subway.
Disney. Trifecta.
Yeah.
The big three.
Subway is my favorite, but all three are important.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if we can help that man.
I don't think we can.
But we might be able to help some of these people in something called Listener Love, yes?
Listener Mailbag.
What do we do here?
Well, here, Natalie, people tweet at us or email us, or they stop us on the street and say, hey, here's a thing. Could you help? And you're probably great at this.
Oh, God, I hope. So,
yeah. Well, you're definitely better than we are, because we usually soil the sheets in trying to give advice. So let's just see if we can help these people out. Haas, who do we have first?
Our first question comes to us from Pedro in Austin, Texas, via our email, menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. Pedro asks, I am positive my girlfriend has been blaming her nasty farts on my dog. He never used to fart like that. How do I expose her lies?
Interesting.
Well, I love how it's a conspiracy immediately. How do I expose her lies?
You have to catch her farting without the dog.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Is the dog always there?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to have the dog leave the room.
I think my question would go back to you, because I also have a show called Awkward Poop in the City, which is spinoff of Awkward
What's
Sex.
What's that about?
It's about shit. I have no problem farting in front of my boyfriend, like, ever. So my question would go back to the girlfriend being like, why is she afraid to?
Why are you trying to hide it? Yeah.
Right. How long have they been together? Why are they afraid to? Maybe your dog's got stinky farts, though, because once dogs get older, it's just the whole ball game changes.
Yes.
Right. What comes out of their ass.
Their digestive system ages a bit, matures, and new smells.
Matures.
Some would say
like
matures.
Like,
yes.
Like a nice aged cheese.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to believe Pedro, because he's the one that wrote in, mm-hmm. but you're also like, maybe this is not a correct assumption.
Maybe it's an elaborate ruse, and he's, you know, he emailed it. Fucking failed it out of his. I don't know what the rhyme for that would be, but mm-hmm. like, you know, he who smelt it situation.
Oh, yeah. But he's like, no, it's really not me.
Yeah.
I wrote into a sex podcast.
Exactly. So when it all comes crumbling down, when the dog dies and then the stenches are still there, he can be like, hey, I wrote in years ago to this podcast blaming you for this. So.
And then he'll go to look for it and Disney will have removed it.
Yes.
This reminds me of when I go home for the holidays with Murph. I fart and I blame it on him. Because you don't want to fart in front of someone else's family.
No, yeah, I take the heat for it.
Yeah, I actually, when my boyfriend met my parents for the first time, he farted out in the open, too. So it was so smelly that it still hit everyone. And my parents looked at me and was like, was that you? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
Like, just, I took,
that's
I took
love.
The heat.
Love.
Yeah.
That's what love is.
Yeah, that's what
I
it is.
I
want
to know what love is. yeah, I think that's true. I think you take the heat for your partner. But when it's at home and there's just...
Where the heat blows.
Where the heat blows. Where there's two humans, one dog. I feel like it is just easy to blame it. And also, has she blamed this on the dog? Or you're just, he's now also making assumptions. There's no communication in this relationship.
Yeah,
you're afraid to fart in front of each other.
Yeah.
And you're afraid to discuss the
fact
that
there's
a fart.
Do you even have a dog?
Yeah. Do you even have a girlfriend? Are you just at home farting and sending us emails?
Oh, man.
We shit with the door open sometimes in our house.
That is something that I want to get to with my boyfriend, and he's very like, no, like,
yeah.
I want some secrecy. And I'm like, well, I just queefed as loud as like a very huge fart 2 hours ago. I think the secrecy is gone.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Well, what I think
queef
is funny.
The size of a fart.
Sounds like something. A wonderful queef.
It was beautiful.
What I think about that, too, is I think that people that's how they judge levels of intimacy. And I think that that's relevant. But I think sometimes it's just being lazy. Like, it's obviously being comfortable. But, like, if you run to the bathroom and start shitting and don't close the door all the way, it's not like, I want you to be part of this experience. It's just like.
Step into the bathroom.
This is where I live.
Right.
Gotta shit. You know?
Especially a lot of times it'll be mid-conversation. If we're talking about something and one of us has to shit, is I feel like where the most often. Because we do shut the door sometimes. But I just think if we're in the middle of a conversation, and it doesn't have to then just be eye contact, one of us could just be in the kitchen doing something, the other one's in the bathroom shitting with the door open, and we're just continuing the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. My parents, they have a very disgusting morning routine where my dad will be shitting, and my mom will be doing her makeup in the bathroom, and then they'll switch.
See that?
Dad will do his makeup.
He'll do
And they've been married, I think it's 37 years now.
Yes.
Like, so that's why I'm like, I want that. Like,
yeah.
That's what I've been exposed to, and that looks like love.
Yeah.
And they have a crazy-ass sex life. Like, I've walked in one too many times to know that you can shit in front of each other and still want to fuck each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? Oh, definitely.
Well, yeah, but that's the next thing I was going to say is, like, that's true, because I think some people are worried that there's, like, the romance is gone if you see someone shit, which is bizarre because we all shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the thing that turned you on about someone is that you imagined they'd never shit... Then I don't. You're setting yourself up for a
there's literally a no one that can
not shit
follow through for you on that one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just like one of those like $6,000 sex dolls.
Yes.
Looks like a human.
Very lifelike. You can even feed her, but she doesn't have
to
shit.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
I bet some of them shit, but you have to ask for that.
Yes.
Specifically.
Can I install the the shit feature? Doesn't come standard on the $6,000 model.
No, certainly not. Pedro, you can either save up some money and get a doll, or I would just ask, can you have a conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, communication is key.
Great. What's next, Thomas?
Helped.
Well, our second question is from Winnie in Seattle, Washington, via our Facebook page, Ménage à Trois Radio. Winnie wonders, I slept with a caterer at my sister's wedding. It was great. But I woke up the next day and realized he was really unattractive. I have been ignoring his calls. I just found out he's catering my mom's Thanksgiving party. WTF do I do?
WTF.
What the fuck?
Get over looks.
Yeah.
And probably fuck him again because I bet the sex was amazing.
Yeah.
And he's probably a great guy.
That's fucking great advice.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving rolls around. You don't have a date to Thanksgiving.
There
fuck
you
the
go.
Caterer. Because obviously if he's catering a Thanksgiving feast, I mean, he's a skilled man, at least at his craft. I mean, I wouldn't hire someone to cater my Thanksgiving if they weren't good in the bedroom.
Sounds like they're good with their hams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's that interview process like, Murph?
frankly, like, we can do this one of two ways. Either just be honest with me and I'll take your word for it,
Or, like some video evidence.
Yes, please. Yes, I want to see at least video evidence.
I think you could also skip Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just make an excuse to not have to come home for the holidays.
Well, yeah, because I think there's obviously a shallow thing here where you're like, if the sex is great, somebody can grow on you, like, mm-hmm. give it a whirl. But if you're really trying to avoid someone and you don't want to go down that path, or you could tell your mom, hey,
yeah,
let's do sushi.
Right. Yeah. Try to let's do a takeout situation and not have this guy cater. Is it common to have your Thanksgivings catered to? Isn't the whole, like, I feel like Thanksgiving, not to call out her mom.
Thanksgiving party. So maybe it's like the night before.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows. Seattle. I mean, phew.
Seattle,
that place.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I also think if you're only fucking him on special occasions, then that's just your special occasion go-to, you know? You don't have to marry this person as long as you're both okay with it. Like, weddings come around, Thanksgiving come around, New Year's Eve maybe you fuck.
What if you marry the guy? Who's going to cater your wedding?
Sorry, everyone.
We will. We're coming to Seattle.
Oh,
taking
man.
Shit on the road.
Well.
Do it, yeah.
So, all right,
no,
yeah.
Don't do it in here.
Oh, no.
Do what?
Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to shit in the carpet.
Oh,
wow.
No.
What?
What?
I'm sorry, I was spacing out.
We're on the second question now, dude.
Oh, okay.
I've already shit on the carpet, first of all. Thank
you
for not taking, giving me credit for that. It wasn't the dog. So fuck it. Fuck on Thanksgiving, you know? Get a nice full meal and get that
tryptophan buzz.
Just like a nice little drift off to fuck land. Otherwise known as Disney World.
All right, well, lastly, our third question was tweeted at us at our at Menage Radio from at Wills 868686. Wills wants to know, when I piss, I start to jizz. Not cool.
Not a question.
Is that even possible?
I was just going to say, Will is Wills or whatever. Your streams are crossed.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't sound medically safe or.
Yeah. Maybe go to Plan B. Maybe go to, or not Plan B, Planned Parenthood. Check, get it. Get your junk checked. Something's not right.
Take the morning after pill.
Yes.
Take the morning after pill. You'll be fine.
Yeah, everything will be all right. Your pipe should be straightened out.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, is Will's erect while he's peeing?
Which
is
tough to do.
Just dribbling out?
I've only ever, I mean, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning. If you have the morning wood situation, you need to urinate. That's always a tricky thing, but it usually starts to go limp, at least for me, by the end of the urination. It starts to go down.
I go limp, too, after a while.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's not jizz. Like, I don't think it's jizz.
I was just going to say that. What if it's a medical problem, so it's like a weird
discharge.
Medical problem, discharge,
like a gonorrhea-type situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Wills, you got the clap, man.
You might have the clap. I would say, if you're Planned Parenthood's great if you don't have health insurance, but even if you're busy and you don't have time to schedule, even just a taste, I think, just a quick tiny dab of like on the finger and just taste it, I think you would know, right? Difference between the taste of discharge and jizz and urine.
Would you know your own jizz? Like, would you know, like, oh, this is what jizz tastes like?
I don't know if I would know my own out of like a blind taste test Pepsi, Coca-Cola situation, but I would know jizz, I think. I would definitely know jizz from urine.
Mm-hmm.
If I tasted them both,
only hope.
I think I would know.
Impressive.
Would
did
anyone
you say
in the room not
or
it's impressive?
Impressive.
I know the difference between jizz and piss.
Well, I think we all. Does anyone in this room not think they'd be able to tell the difference between jizz and piss?
I've never tasted urine, but I have tasted jizz. So I feel like with that information, information I should know.
Yeah.
What's weird is I feel like I have tasted urine, but I don't know why.
I did like a dumb, really fucking dumb thing of like two of us at a party drinking like piss and that just like a jackassy type of
it's
young
sterile.
Kid's way. Yeah, it is very sterile.
Was it your own piss?
The urea.
I did actually drink someone else's piss. Yeah, wasn't my own. I had to remember this.
Did you know
this
before this podcast? Were you aware of this?
No, I didn't know. No, this is new.
This is new information. I never thought we'd be able to get anything else new out here. Thank you for whoever sent this question.
Yeah,
thank you. Now, did the person privately pee? And then into a cup, and then you exchanged?
Yeah, we both did. Because I remember pissing in a cup, too. I think he drank mine, and I drank his. Oh, was like nice. The situation, yeah.
I feel like just because...
Oh, nice.
Nice. Friendship.
Cool. Sounds like you guys have a really good relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Wood.
P Brothers.
Pete Wood is the man's name.
I think that maybe it's just
because... He's so glad you said his first and last name.
He is so glad. Pete?
For this tidbit.
You know, social?
That was needed.
Yeah, I think maybe just knowing how pee smells, you would feel like you would have some idea of how it would taste.
Yeah.
I definitely feel confident I would know the difference between jizz and piss, but I'm not sure I would know the difference between a weird discharge that was like kind of jizz, but not like, I mean, you know what I, like, then it's like.
Yeah, but not,
I'm not a doctor, so.
Yeah, I think a doctor needs to get a Q-tip up there.
And taste
it. What's going on. And taste it. And taste it.
A little spoon.
Oh, yeah, those little, like, sorbet spoons.
Oh, yes. Such a delicate process at the urologist.
So chic.
Yeah.
I think Natalie's right. You got to go to the doctor.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Help.
Helped.
Oh, man. What was it? Also, of the things that have been revealed both privately between the two of us and on this show, I don't. Would that drinking piss even rank? Does that rank high up there? Is like a, oh, what? I think we've both shared some pretty outrageous things with each other. I'm just curious where that would rank.
Drinking piss?
Yeah.
Very low.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not surprising to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. I love that.
Well, I think if you're like in your early 30s and you are a partier and you've like lived hard in a bunch of different towns and it'd be hard to surprise somebody with something.
Yeah.
Surprise me with something like that. It's not violent. I think violent is where I'd be like, oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I did, after drinking the piss, just punch Pete Wood in the throat. That was the worst part of that story.
I'm still okay
That's
with
not
it.
True.
I don't know why.
That's also not true.
What's his middle name?
I don't know.
Shall we slide on over to six sections?
I think we should.
So, Natalie, what we do here is we've just helped some people, answered some questions. Now it's time for you to answer some questions.
Okay.
These are six rapid-fire sex questions, and all you have to do is answer as quickly as you can.
Oh, shit. I'm nervous. Okay.
Starting.
We'll get it. Are you ready?
Now.
Would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
Oh, fuck. I guess maybe one life if the sex is really good.
What's the sexiest animal?
Tiger.
Who's your number one celebrity crush?
Amy Schumer.
Agoraphobic or necrophiliac?
Agoraphobic.
Which U.S. president would you bone?
Oh, fucking Clinton.
Yeah.
Hillary.
And lastly, Natalie, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
I hate to say it, but humor. I do.
I think
it's so cliche.
This has been Six Sections with Ms. Natalie Wall. Some follow-ups.
A couple quick follow-ups. I love the prophetic answer to the U.S. president, just giving us the future president of the United States, Clinton.
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a threesome with the Clintons.
That would. I feel like...
It's like an Underwood, Frank...
And
Claire Underwood situation.
That was an interesting scene in that episode, or that series.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it. I was like, all right, this feels right.
Yeah.
This
and it's kind of like a power play.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like it wasn't even about sex. It felt like they were just like, rawr.
Yeah, attacked him. And also you have someone now for life who is going to be, like, if you want a Secret Service person who you don't mind overhearing some shady shit, just fuck him. Have a three-way with him and be like, hey, you're just kind of like our little love boy. And
I
we all have these
piss,
secrets.
Dude.
Yeah, dude, I chugged your
piss.
You're
mine now.
And then hit you in the throat. You're mine.
You're back.
Yeah. Pete.
Pete Wood. The tiger is very sexy.
The tiger's
the big
sexy.
Cats. Sexiest of the big cats,
Celebrity
perhaps.
Celebrity crush, Amy Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
It is.
I bet she's great in bed.
Right, yeah. She has to be. Well, she talks about her sex life on stage, and she says she's very, like, she's not kinky. She's very, I don't know.
Like
right
old-fashioned, hammered out to the point.
She's got, like, the eye of the tiger to get her O. She's very, like, focused.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, that works.
Yeah.
I feel like if you, I mean, anything goes, but I think if that's working for you, you may be less likely to, like, branch out into kink. If you're just like, this is really good.
Yeah.
I also think you can only have so many passions or hobbies or things. And I think people that are into that, and it is exciting for them. But some people, if you're on a strict schedule and you don't always make like a 3-hour affair out of sex, or if there's bondage involved, or if there's like a slow, you know, I think if you're just like, hey, this is how I know I can get off and I enjoy that, and
this is how we do it.
You know how you can get off, so this is how we do it. Quickly and to the point.
You know, long sex kind of blows. Like, I want an orgasm as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and then I want to fall asleep.
Yep.
That's all I need.
Yeah. I mean, I only masturbate when I'm trying to fall asleep.
See, that's what's weird, that is when I masturbate, it actually wakes me up. Because I wanted to masturbate yesterday night, and I was like, I can't. Like, it's going to wake me up, and I'm going to be up for another 10
hours.
You're
up all night
it's
masturbating.
Like, can I have a coffee? It's kind of late. It's like that, like, level at which you have to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you check the clock.
6
and
p.m.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, humor.
Humor's good.
I'm just kidding.
Isn't it lame?
I
felt
you
lame.
Said it was like, lame. I don't think it's lame.
I call it lame. Like, being a comedian, be like, I want someone funny. Like, maybe.
Well, funny's forever.
That's true.
Funny also, I think funny in humor is also just having a sense of humor that you don't necessarily need to be hilarious, but that you can have fun and appreciate.
Like, yeah.
Like, I think some people, it's just maybe just like not being so uptight or being willing to laugh at weird shit and have fun, even if you're not necessarily hysterical yourself.
Yeah, you never want to be laughing and have your partner be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always sucks when that happens.
Yeah, it does.
It just sucks when you're laughing and you're like, no, you don't think this is funny? Well.
You're rolling around on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need someone that will laugh when I fart. Like, I need them to not be disgusted.
Yes.
Oh, like, not disgusted.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I loved the asterisk on the one life partner. As long as the sex is great.
Like, that's a big part of it. It's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Def, especially if that's your only one.
Right?
Yep.
Because you could have, like, a fling where the sex isn't great, but maybe you got something else from that person. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were in a cool band and you learned about new kinds of music. But if it's forever and it's one, you need to, like, hit a few bullet points.
Yeah. Maybe they got you tickets to Disney World, you know?
Right. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe you met them on Craigslist. Maybe you're a child. I mean,
there's a lot of maybes in this scenario. And you know what? To each his own.
Hey, but one thing we do know for sure is that Chris Hansen is coming back, guys.
Oh, Oz beeped it. Hansen is back.
Hansen versus Predator.
That's what they're calling it?
That's the name of it.
Hansen versus.
They actually established a Kickstarter and raised $90,000 to bring the TV show back.
That is intense.
That was crowdsourced.
A crowdsourced situation.
They started filming October 1st in Fairfield, Connecticut. And by all accounts, it's going really well.
Oh, man.
What if you watched the first episode and it was just literally Hansen versus, like, the movie Predator?
Oh, I thought that's what it was. That's what I want.
It was another Predator sequel.
I'd watch that show.
Yeah, it's better than Alien versus Predator. Right. Give me Hansen versus Predator.
He just steps into a ring and starts, like, beating one pervert up.
He's covering himself in mud.
Yeah, you know,
so that
trying to
he
hide
doesn't
out.
Show up on their infrared
their
scanners.
Heat seekers.
Yikes. Yep.
Yeah. Also, I wonder if there was a Kickstarter in response to this from just, like, the fucking... pedos of the world.
NAMBLA?
NAMBLA starts their anti, you know, because I think that would just get a lot more money. Because $90,000 doesn't even seem... I mean, Zach Braff is raising fucking millions for his movies. People like To Catch a Predator, like, nah, I guess I'll give it $10. What's the reward structure here?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they need to do more, like, quirky stuff in To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
Get on that Garden State level.
Well, sure, because I'm wondering the budget for a television show, $90,000.
Yeah, what do I get out of this, you know?
Yeah.
That's, I think, they don't
you
have it
built
in.
You get to see people embarrassed and ashamed.
And a safer world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that that's the afterthought. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Less kids.
Right.
Less kids getting...
Less child molested.
Yeah. Cold, hard entertainment. That's what you get.
I'd like to see them squirm.
Well, Chris Hansen and Predator go together great.
Sure they do.
You know who else is good together?
Who's that?
Our PC Spotlight.
Our power couple of the week. You know them, tacky droves of people who visit New York City to stop in the middle of sidewalks and block train doors.
And you know it, the principal memorial commemorating the September 11 attacks of 2001. We're talking tourists.
And the 9/11 Museum. So, Natalie, we like to match people and things. Sometimes it gets a little more abstract. Things that go great together.
Conceptual.
And so this one we thought of because we've had a lot of conversations with people that have visited friends, family in town that have been. Have you been to the?
I have not.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
Once I heard they had a gift shop.
Yep.
I was like, nope.
Same.
I heard there was a cheese plate with like the Twin Towers crumbling.
That is the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I read that when it first opened. I was like, interesting.
It's a special kind of exploitation. Yeah.
It's a smoked cheese.
It is a smoked Gouda on the plate.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? That's just what I read.
Hey, go to the website.
She's the messenger.
Cheese plates don't come with cheese.
No, there's like a wrapped, cheese that'll have a long shelf life.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it comes with it.
These two cannot get enough of each other. Tourists are obsessed. What I think is funny is a woman visited recently, my sister's friend, was visiting New York, and she was like, I don't want to go somewhere and be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I was in D.C., I didn't go to the Holocaust Museum. I'm in New York, I didn't go to 9/11. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that if you want to, but I thought that was an interesting take on things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather, see, have fun and have an uplifting trip rather than a reflective kind of down trip.
Yeah. I mean, if you feel like you're spending
$90 on a plate.
Get it.
That, yeah, has the towers on it.
Well, it's shitty that they make you buy the plate when you go, too.
Yeah. It's part of it. It's part of the whole experience. I mean, I guess every museum has a gift shop, but I guess there's just something... I don't know.
There's something really sick about it for some reason to me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, all the proceeds go to a foundation. Cool. I've never researched it, but I felt like if once I read that, I would have heard that other half immediately.
You would think they would put that out there so that people didn't think, like who is profiting from this?
Yeah.
Where's the money going?
Exactly.
That's a great point.
I bet they give a percentage, if I had to guess.
I hope so. I really do hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the only way that would ever... And it's also just a strange thing, though, to think about buying. Because I think some of the shit, I mean, I was not on the website, but I think someone showed me once of like a sweatshirt or something. So they sell like $90 sweatshirts that have. But to me, it's also one of those things like you were saying. There's nothing. If you're just going to buy like an American flag bandana there or whatever, that's one thing. But something with the actual like smoking towers on it or something that just reminds. It's just a strange thing to like just keep that alive and keep that going. Like that's like if a t-shirt that you just wore out to a bar to meet somebody and it was just like that, I think that there's, I don't know. I guess you're people, like, I never want anyone to forget about this.
It's very dark. I have two things I want to say. I think a lot of it is that it's still pretty recent in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our holidays and stuff are just commemorating horrid things and wars. But what we do is like we celebrate them.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, blah, blah. I mean, we all know, but we just think of it now as like sales on mattresses, you know?
Right.
So, but I think, because this is a tragedy that's like happened fairly recently, you're just like, oh, how cheap. But I think in like 100 years, there could just be like a, put your Twin Tower hat on and barbecue, you know? Like, seriously.
No, I agree. Do we do anything for Pearl Harbor? Is there anything, like, is there a sale now from that? Because that was the most recent from 9/11.
From 9/11.
Interesting. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, there was Veterans that garbage
Day,
movie.
Veterans Day. Yeah.
Veterans Day is a Pearl day Harbor. To commemorate the end of World War II, and it's just like a car, like, sale holiday, essentially.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say is someone told me...
Who has to die for me to put you into this used Oldsmobile? How many have to die? All right, go ahead.
The other thing is somebody told me recently that there are people on the dark net who sell the dust. And they're like, this is authentic 9/11 dust.
I've heard of the 9/11 dust, yeah.
Which is just insane to me.
Yeah. Hard to authenticate. Again, kind of like the taste test with the jizz and the urine. It's just
could tell if it was 9/11 dust by tasting it?
Or just like a fire of some house somewhere that happened? No. I don't think I'm that good.
My friend her family's from Yonkers, and so when it happened, all these tourists would be coming around, like, downtown, And she told me that like she would show her friends just a construction site because like she was like, they'll never fucking know.
Oh. Wow.
And and be like, oh, this is where it happened. And like, oh my God.
That's so, yeah.
And like, that's fucked up. But then so on point for America.
Yeah.
Like, of course,
right.
You don't know exactly where it happened.
No. And you don't even really care. Like, I think especially if you're, mm-hmm. if you're the kind of person who enjoys co-opting grief or just having that sense of nationalism of like, this was a thing that happened for everyone. And also the complexity of it and like the reasons for it and what mm-hmm. people did because of it and in response to it. I think it's just it's more layered than just this is like a shitty thing that happened because of course it is. But mm-hmm. I think there's just a whole nother level if you're going to walk around with that sort of memoriam on clothing or on your dinnerware or whatever that you're
your dinnerware.
Your dinnerware. That you, I don't know. I think it's a certain kind of person who would do that. So I guess it's their statement pieces that you'd buy at that gift shop.
We cremated my grandparents and mm-hmm. we went and threw them in a lake in New Hampshire, which is totally illegal to throw human remains into a public lake.
I did not know that.
It is. But
don't worry, no one
will
hear
about windy,
it. It was windy. Disney's taking this podcast.
And I got some ashes in my mouth.
No.
Oh, you did taste the
ash. But
the
Lebowski,
that happens to them, right? They're like throwing it on the mountain.
I remember they threw them in and it blows back on them.
I think it was a similar situation.
And what did it taste? How did it taste? Just like ash.
Just like, exactly. Yeah. You're like, that sounds so horrific, but it just tasted like carbon, you know?
You know when you butt a cigarette, if you have like an ashtray with a bunch of ashes and like say like, you know, old cigarette butts, if you butt it and save a little bit for later, like it might be like something like that. Because like the first drag off of that cigarette usually tastes a little ashy. Tastes like your grandparents, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly what it, but it tastes like an ashy taste. Have you?
I agree.
One other thought I'll add for this conversation is
we need
culture,
one more thought.
Yeah, the culture.
Make it sexy, Haas.
Oh, well, all right. Well, the culture of selfies. I feel like I've seen not too long ago someone compiled a list of inappropriate selfies.
Oh, yeah.
Ground
and
zero
so, like,
selfies.
Ground zero selfies. Holocaust Museum selfies.
Funeral selfies.
Yeah, funeral selfies.
There was a selfie at Auschwitz. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. An Auschwitz selfie?
Yeah. I mean, she got destroyed on social media.
Of course.
Which just, I read, there was like a TED talk about destroying people on social media recently. I was like, oh, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
We suck as society.
Oh, like, yeah. The internet is just filled with rage and everyone freaks out.
But that's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
You know
what's, it is, but also the outrage is ridiculous because we like create this society where that happens and then it happens and then we tear people apart mm-hmm. and they're like, I don't know, I'm 18. I was excited to go to this place.
Yeah.
The only way I can validate any experience is by like taking a photo. Like it's just,
I was just
going
to say, it speaks to that. It speaks more to the idea that you would, you haven't experienced something because just taking a photo of it. So it's like, why would you want, as you even say ground zero, since that's what we're talking about. If you went there to have an emotion, have a feeling, have a memory, taking a photo of things has always been associated with that. And now selfies are just part of, like people are so obsessed with themselves that they need to also be in the photograph mm-hmm. is the thing. So, I mean, I'm just trying to connect the dots for this person to see
OMG,
where I see
what
it.
A tragedy.
Yeah, but I got...
Here I am, my besties.
Hashtag super sad. I think, what's funny too is if you're not smiling, you're probably more likely to... for people not to call you out.
Well, that's
there's
the thing.
Like these
like,
little
you
things.
You do your hair real quick. You get like your selfie face on. It's usually not. Yeah, it's not like I'm really somber. It's more like hello, I'm visiting New York.
There were all those selfies when a bunch of buildings burned down the East Village, and it was like really tragic, and businesses and people lost their home, and there were so many people who were like taking like and there was like burning buildings behind them, and they were like, smiling and laughing.
It's all.
I remember that.
Down.
I had a show at KGB Bar right next to it, and I remember seeing it in the crosswalks, and I was like, "This is so fucked up," because it was still it was still burning. Firemen were like trying to stop the fire. It's very bad.
Yeah.
A lot of selfie sticks that night when I was walking around.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why you just have to carry one at all times.
Yeah.
That's why.
All right.
Thank our sponsor, Selfie Stick, for that. Power couple of the week.
Tourists and 9/11 Memorial, we salute you.
Yes. Yo, our Power Couple of the Week and our Sexy Science were really a nice 1-2 punch of heinous.
Sorry. This is especially heinous.
Yeah. This is an SVU episode. Especially heinous is my favorite phrase of all time.
Mm-hmm.
on the way here, I was reading an article by The Post about that the New York SVU offices are in such a terrible place that victims don't even want to go there. Yeah, and it's kind of near where I live. It's in East Harlem, and I was like, oh, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, so yeah, part of the underreporting is people just don't even want to make the trip to the offices.
Yeah.
Well, there's again, shouldn't they have a couple let's locations? Get dark again, but
yeah.
It's a big city.
No, it got dark real quick. I can make shit real dark real quick.
No, no, but I'm going to say, like, all that shit that just came to light about how rape kits are never processed.
Oh,
like,
I did not
statistically,
hear about
that. There are mass quantities of rape. And you're like, why would you go report something and go through the traumatic reliving of the experience seeking justice?
And,
they don't even, like, take
rape
it seriously?
Kit procedure.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's a little invasive, I think, after you've just had your...
I think it's one of those Q-tip situations.
Yeah, I think it's a swab situation.
And it just doesn't even get processed.
No, I mean, it's horrific, especially heinous.
It is
They don't even
heinous.
Do a taste test.
No, they don't. They don't even taste to see if it's...
Wow. Wow. You're a monster. You're a monster. Do you guys want to brighten things up over in virtual sugar?
Let's say we do
it.
So we'd like to see you in action. We know that you're not single, but just for a moment, pretend that you are.
Okay.
It's called acting.
This is
I took
we like
a class
to
in college.
Yes.
That will definitely play into this. So what we do here is an improvised date. You play yourself. You get to pick anyone in the room that you want to go on a date with.
Okay.
Some of us may also just jump in as ancillary characters. And you just be yourself and go on a date. The location of the date is you're watching an Eagles game at a bar.
Okay.
Get to pick whoever you want. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, I'm going to go on theme. I'm going to pick Diana.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right.
They always pick me.
Diana and Natalie. Yeah, you are a hot item.
Hot.
So you two are watching an Eagles game at a bar. That's about it. Day begins now.
My bell didn't go. That's a good thing. Hi, Natalie.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going really good.
Diana, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Thanks for meeting me here. I cannot miss this game.
Yes, you're an Eagles fan?
Yeah, a newly ordained Eagles fan.
Ah, how do you become ordained as an Eagles fan?
I am an artist, and I went to boarding school. My family's really into football, and I realized I had to become a football fan to have a relationship with my family.
That's the only way?
Yeah.
All right.
Just, I need some common ground. Thanksgiving's coming up. I need shit to talk about with people.
Okay. That's
what about you? Do you like football?
I do. I like the Chiefs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I used to live in Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Right. That's where the Chiefs are from.
You know your football well. I like this.
Yeah. I'm really trying to memorize all the states and the teams and the cities.
You're doing a very good job.
Thanks. Can I get you a drink?
Sure. I'll take a Michelob.
I'm sorry, what?
I'll take a Michelob.
They just have craft brews here.
No IPAs. Maybe a lager?
A lager. Great. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Could I get a lager and a big mug of wine?
Lager and a mug of wine coming up.
Thank you.
I didn't know mug was an option. Next time.
Yeah, it's a little known fact. You can always order a mug of wine.
Sorry, did you want the 32-ounce mug or the 64-ounce?
Oh, do you not have the 86 anymore?
No, you know, we smashed the only two that we had. They broke.
Why don't you just bring me three bottles?
Three bottles of wine?
Yeah, I'm on a date, so I need...
And a lager.
Yeah, thanks. Great. So, do you eat meat?
I do. I do. I'm a big fan of most of the meats.
Can you be quiet? The game's starting.
Sure. Of course.
Oh, man.
Here's your three bottles of wine. I just did a grab bag. There's a Pinot in here, and there's a Pinot Noir and a Pinot Grigio. And the third one is just some pink thing. I don't. It was just sitting on the shelf. I don't know what it is.
It's called a rose.
Rose. There it is. Three
Thanks.
For you and a lager for you.
Thank
Here's
you.
Your lager.
Thank you. How's the
That's
game looking?
$184.
Oh, do you take gold?
Gold, like bricks, or have you melted it down into?
I just have some jewelry.
Should we go Dutch?
Sure. I feel bad though.
I mean, it's 2015, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if we just split it, you'll be paying for a lot of wine. But you could just pay for yours, I guess.
Okay, okay.
Thanks for being so cool.
So it's $4 for you and $180 in gold?
Yeah, here you go. Here you go.
Yeah, I guess I can get $180 for this.
Cool.
All right.
So tell me about yourself.
There's not that much to know. I like beer.
Pardon me, ladies. Yeah, hey, how you doing? I just got this grapefruit here. I don't know, I was thinking maybe you want a party?
Elaborate? I don't know how to party with a grapefruit.
Oh, you don't know about a grapefruit method?
No. Do you, Diana?
No.
Dude, come
never
on.
Heard of it.
Get him to come to the grapefruit party.
Yeah, all right. I got this. So, yeah, it's cool. You're going to love it. It's like having an extra pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do not. I've never thought of my vagina as a grapefruit.
It's two for one.
Yeah.
You like coupons?
Can you be quiet? I'm watching a game.
Yeah, the game's on. She needs to hear this.
Oh,
this is how she talks to her family.
They're not going for this.
No, dude, you didn't sell it.
Get in there. Try. All right, you try.
I mean, hey, ladies. Hi. Sorry to interrupt.
Hi.
Hi. I'm friends with the man who just propositioned you to come to a grapefruit party. It's really like a good citrus, like a vitamin C situation. You know, it's healthy. It's a healthy idea.
I'm allergic to citrus fruits.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
That's important to know.
All right. Are you two on a date? I'm sorry if we interrupted your...
Yeah, we're on a date. We don't want to party with you. And I think one vagina is plenty.
I mean, I could go for another, but...
Cool.
Tommy, are you fucking this up?
Dude, come on. No, I'm just trying to figure it out, man. This is a wild, wild proposition. It's not an easy sell, ladies. I'm sorry. We got one down for two vaginas. One is only down for one vagina.
I mean, is there anything else?
The fucking Eagles. God damn it. You know, Bradford's just not getting this offense. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he's not getting the offense or getting anyone off, and neither are these grapefruits. Is there anything else at the grapefruit party?
Yes. Tell him.
Yeah, we'll do whatever at the grapefruit party. We'll have, like, wine, or I see you like wine. You have three open bottles of wine in front of you.
Yeah, I have enough wine.
Cool. Yeah, we'll have wine. Wine and grapefruit. We could put the game on.
Natalie, if you want to go, I mean, I would check out the party.
I mean, only if you're interested, though.
I'm just, like, on the fence because I'm, like, a really big football fan, but I'm also, like...
Put the game on. We got the ticket.
A rebel at heart.
This is a tricky situation because I do like citrus. But I do like football games and relating to families.
I have an idea. Why don't you go with those guys and I'll stay here and watch the game? Compromise.
That's a very beautiful compromise. All right.
All right. I'll call you tomorrow.
You never got my number.
I have some connections.
Yo, dude.
Fair enough.
It worked.
This
somehow
is amazing. Let's go.
Fucking Bradford. Mm.
Wow.
That date ended with a twist.
That was a great date.
I didn't see that coming at all.
No, me neither.
What was the twist?
What was the twist?
I think the twist was the two people who started the date didn't end on the date together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And also that really smooth game that was run. Somehow worked.
Approach a couple ladies.
Yeah.
Ask
and just
them,
talk about a grapefruit.
Yeah. Grapefruit you got in your hand?
Yeah. Have you guys done that before?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you were very nice.
Not smooth. Yes.
Understanding and accommodating.
Why, thank you.
You made me feel safe.
It was a very pleasant date. No judgment, which was nice.
No, it was very
because
nice.
A three bottle of wine order is a tall order.
People drink what they got to drink, you know?
They do.
Yeah.
I like drinking wine straight from the bottle, too.
You know, I like this whole, I like the mug idea. I liked a wine mug.
A wine mug, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with red wine because it doesn't need to be chilled.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get a mass quantity of it and not be like, oh, the second half will be rough.
Exactly. And especially when, that's why I never understood the smaller, daintier wine glasses. Because you are just going to be, especially if you have your own bottle, if you've ordered a whole bottle, it's like, why do I need to slowly pour this? Just pour the whole fucking thing out. You know you're going to drink it.
Yeah.
I think Carlo Rossi had it right, packaging wise.
The jug,
but the
just the big
product.
Glass jug. Yeah, Rossi needed a better product, but yeah, his heart was in the right place.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of the boxes lately. You can get boxes that are like so much smaller than what they used to be, and it's
better
three
wine.
Bottles of wine in one box,
and it's way cheaper, and it's really
cheaper.
Good.
Yeah, it used to just be the Franzia, which was not a quality wine, but now they actually have good wines in boxes.
Did you guys do the slap bag game in college?
Oh, yes. I have not played it personally, but I've seen it.
All it is you take the bag out of the box, and then someone holds it for you, and you're
open
supposed to
that
drink
faucet.
As much as you can.
It's like a keg stand.
Yeah,
wine.
It's a keg stand, and then once you're out, you just like slap the bag, and they pass it to someone else.
Ooh, mama like.
Yeah.
I went to a party school. We just by
what
people,
school did you go?
We went to James. I went to James Madison University.
So did everyone else that went there.
So did everyone else. And we just got named by People Magazine the number one hookup college in America.
Oh,
wow!
Shit.
So incidentally, we're definitely like the number one STD.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, because it's drunk, unprotected.
That's
sex.
That's why you knew about the penile discharge.
Oh yeah, I was like, I've made plenty of phone calls. This does not sound right.
I've made phone calls.
Would you say it lived in your experience there that it did live up to People Magazine's? Because I always wonder how they do those things.
Absolutely, I would like to know how they
what their
figured
rating
it out.
System is,
but yeah, but it's funny too because it's 70% girls and 30% dudes.
What?
Yeah, so it was a very interesting situation to watch girls like fight for like a bro.
Yeah,
and
for some fucking bro in a bar talking about a grapefruit trying to get
that felt like very natural.
Yeah, that was like I've seen these idiots at a James Madison.
Yeah,
it's weird how
go on
how ratios affect like obviously supply and demand.
Uh-huh.
But you're like in certain cities they say you're better off being like a straight woman, or certain cities you're better off being a gay man, or you're better off because. Numbers-wise, but because there's those towns in like Wyoming or South Dakota or something where there's literally one woman for every like 10,000 men, like just these crazy like mining towns where there's like nothing but that industry, and that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
because your standards would instantly be affected by that.
Absolutely.
If you were the in the majority in that situation, or are you saying the other way around? Because
the minority, I feel like your standards change, right? No, if you're in the majority,
Yeah. Like if there's
70% well, if it's 10,000 to one, your standards just have to be one or zero.
Yeah.
Because you have no choices.
Or like that. Like that is your choice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an extreme. But like in the college ratio you brought up, like, you're like, I'm fighting over a bro. Like I would never even want to. Maybe necessarily seek this kind of person out.
Right,
but
this
I'm
is
like,
what this is what's on the menu.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends come out of it with like huge like self-esteem issues, like lady friends because of it.
Yikes.
And then they moved to D.C. or New York City or at like anywhere and they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was not real life.
No.
That's actually,
like,
because there's not,
for
lack
can
of
be
a better.
Really picky
yes.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right, and there's not enough to go around, which sounds like making this some sort of sexual buffet. Got to the old country.
All
and
you can eat.
Prime meats were all spoken for, so I just grabbed a little bit of pudding and went home. I think, there'd be slim pickings if there's...
Yeah, and what was really crazy about all of it is all the girls were gorgeous. Like, gorgeous and smart and interesting. So then to see that happen...
Where
like,
is this college?
It's in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And it's in like bumfuck Christianville, Virginia. It's a college town. Game day. College game day. Just went there recently.
So Lee Corso was just swimming in it all weekend.
All day.
At his pick. Oh. Yeah, that's too bad. Because I could also see like that being a choice on someone's, you know, if they were picking a college, looking at that and being like, yeah, I'd like to be in that 30%.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Mm.
Gotta play the odds.
You gotta play those odds.
I feel sad.
I feel sad too.
Why are you sad?
I'm sad because we gotta say goodbye to Natalie.
That's true.
And it was such a enjoyable, even though we didn't make it easy for you with our power couple of the week, and it was still so much fun.
Yeah, with our 1-2 pedo 9/11.
Yep. And then just a couple
situation.
Of, couple of.
I would not have wanted it any other way.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sweet.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You guys pleasure. Don't have to bid farewell, our listeners, to Ms. Wall. Head on over to awkwardsexinthecity.com.
Also, you can follow Natalie on Twitter, and you should. It's at WallNP.
That's WALLNP.
WALLNP.
And please don't miss the next Awkward Sex in the City show on November 20th at the Pleasure Chest.
A portion of the show profits will be donated to Planned Parenthood, which is fucking dope.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Take note, 9/11 Memorial Museum.
Wow. If 9/11 proceeds went to
Planned Parenthood.
Oh my God.
Some people in Nebraska's heads would explode.
Yeah, implode.
People would be pissed.
We'd also like to thank our producer, the Buzzard of Haas. That's Ben Hosley.
Also, our mama, UCB Comedy Studios, thank you for hosting us. And please tweet at us, at Menage Radio.
Reach out and touch us at menageatois.radio@gmail.com and check us online at menageatoisradio.com.
Also, here's a funky thing. This is our 92nd episode, and we're creeping up to 100. So we're going to blow it out. Don't miss our 100th episode, which will be a live show extravaganza at the UCB Theater in Chelsea.
Saturday, December 12th, midnight. It's going to be rad.
Come.
Don't miss it.
100,
guys.
We'll be 100.
Whoa,
pump
congrats.
Chomps. Yeah, it's like a, what is that, silver? Gold? Platinum. No, no one's married for 100 years. I don't think there's a medal for
that. I was about to say, I don't know what it, no. I don't think anyone's made it to 100 years.
Probably not, no.
50's gold, right? I think 50's gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
like
100
a
is like hologram.
Yeah, 100 is, yes, your holograms dance together.
And that's the Grapefruit Technique.
Ménage à Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Ménage à Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.